you hear me at the back? Is that better? So welcome to the first Dharma talk for the retreat. The title of the talk is Buddha Wisdom. A couple of weeks ago I picked up a book by Ajahn Sumedho called The Mind and the Way. And it's a book that I've looked at before, but as with my collection of Dharma books, sometimes I hadn't actually sat down and read it. And I came across this term, Buddha Wisdom. Now, the word Bud means to wake up. So this is awakened wisdom, or the wisdom that is wakeful. And since our retreat title is wisdom, love, and liberation, I thought I would start this evening with the wisdom aspect. So Buddha wisdom is to see with the eye of wisdom, the E-Y-E, okay? So the eye of wisdom. It's to see in a way that is wakeful. So one could say that we look at the whole of life in a rather radically different way. The conventional way of seeing the world, of course, is to see it in a dualistic way, to see it in a divisive way, where we say, here I am, right here, and there's you over there. This is me, and there is the world. The Buddha teaches us to look in a rather different way. So, first of all, we practice to be aware of all the conditioned phenomena that arise, all the conditions that are apparent. Now, a condition is anything that's caught in time. So a condition, in the language of the Dharma, is this body is obviously caught in time. It's going to grow old, decay, and die. It's a feeling is a condition. Feelings just come and go, they're caught in time. They begin and end. A thought is a condition. It just pops up in the mind, dependent upon other conditions around. So we see something, and then a thought occurs to us. These thoughts are invisible. We can't catch them. We try with the mind to grasp and cling and hold on to thoughts. That only leads to misery. So, what I want to look at in the talk is a whole lot of different aspects of wisdom. And, of course, one of the great teachings of the Buddha was pointed us, if you like, towards the unconditioned. So first of all, we practice, we see all that is conditioned, arises and ceases, it comes to an end. So every thought, every feeling, every sensation that you have in your body over the next few days arises, but if you just be with it, it ends, it ceases. all by itself. It's quite remarkable. And so the practice is to see that which is impermanent, to see the conditions of life just arising and ceasing. The Pali word for wisdom is panya. And the nya part of the word, the ending, gives it an active quality or dynamic. The other part of it just means to know. So the kind of knowing that we're talking about is the knowing of understanding. So it's not as some kind of possession, but it's an action. So if you like, wisdom is not something that we accumulate or can have and say, I am now wise. If that thought's occurred to you, something is wrong. So wisdom's an active thing, if you like. It's a practice of seeing, and of seeing in a particular way. This is what we need to understand. It's not something that we can claim as mine and say, that's it, I've got it. And our wisdom is rather natural. We can access it at any time. And the way to access it is, first of all, to really look within, to deal with our very direct experience, whatever that is. Every single experience we have is potentially a doorway to freedom. It's not that we only want the pleasant experiences, but rather, as Muli so beautifully said before, our experience can be varied. It can be pleasant and unpleasant. It can be distressing. It can be peaceful. Whatever the experience, we can bring our awareness to it and see into it, see how it's formed. We can be with it, see the cessation or the ceasing of it, and simply let it be. In this way, we practice with our very life as it is, as it's come to be right now. So we are particularly interested in the Dharma, in the kind of knowing that illuminates our life, that lights it up. So our practice is one of unreactive awareness, or non-reactive awareness, or shining the light of awareness on all of the conditions that come into consciousness. And so in this way, we no longer respond bound to the past or from our entrenched habitual pathways of the mind. And Ajahn Sumedho said, to realize the unconditioned, we have to let go of our constant attachment to conditioned phenomena. So our first practice is simply one of letting go. And we'll be doing some mindfulness of breathing practice. And we can simply start by letting go of the out-breath. So with each out-breath, we simply let go. And then, of course, we begin to let go of the sensations we experience, the feelings we experience, the emotions we experience, any kind of identity or view or idea we have about ourselves, we let that go also. This is the practice. So essentially, we see, hear, smell, taste, touch, and think. The instruction from the Buddha is just see, just hear, just smell, just taste, just touch, just think. Without the add-on of the self idea, the one who stands behind everything doing something. So it's just to directly experience what we see, hear, smell, taste, touch, and think. End of story. So if we can just stop at that, we can live in a very wakeful way. So to see with the Dharma eye is to unhook the self from this freely unfolding life that we experience. And we experience the contact with the sense doors. Dependent upon that, of course, is pleasant or unpleasant feeling. Dependent upon that arises desire, so we're attracted to something. We like the things we feel good about. We like certain things, so we run after them. Or we don't like something and we avoid. And being caught in this cycle throws consciousness about, and there isn't any freedom in that. So it's a matter of, if you like, unhooking the self idea from the direct experience of life as it is, as it freely unfolds. And if we don't do that, what happens is we just run from one condition to another. We think about something that upsets us, and after a while we think, oh, that's too tough, I better think about something else. And so then we start thinking about something else, expecting that it will have a different outcome. But we just get caught up in that story. And so then we think about something else. Or we get really bored and we say, I don't want to do this. All of this is in the realm of conditioned phenomena. And so we need to start to see into this formation of self, of I, me, and mine, of how we claim the thoughts as ours, how we claim the feelings as me, and so on. And when we do that, of course, it leads to suffering, it leads to despair, anguish, sorrow, and generally an unhappiness. So Buddha wisdom is the simple wisdom of knowing that nothing is worth clinging to. Even blissful meditation states, if we happen to have one. And at this point, I want to read you a description from Ajahn Sumedho. This talk obviously was inspired by picking up the book of his. And this is a section where he speaks about his own meditation experience. Ajahn Sumedho, his teacher was Ajahn Chah in Thailand, and then, of course, he was the abbot of Amravati Monastery in England. He was originally American, but he's been abbot of that monastery for a long time. He's no longer the abbot because he's in his 80s, and I think at the moment he's living in North America. But he's a wonderful Dharma teacher. And so this is what he said about his practice. So listen up, everybody. He said, I'd see lights. I'd feel full of bliss as I meditated. Oh, I can see you all thinking, I want that. My interpretation of these experiences was that I had attained something. I remember thinking one time that I was a completely enlightened being. And I thought, well, that didn't take very long. I thought it was going to take years of hard work, but only a few months in a monastery, and here I am, perfectly enlightened. We know what's coming. After that period, In an isolated monastery, I had to go to Bangkok, he says. Travelling on the train, arriving in Bangkok, I found that the Enlightenment had totally collapsed. That there was a terribly confused American wandering around Bangkok. That was a great disappointment. I was expecting to radiate light all over Bangkok. Instead, I was radiating something else that wasn't very nice. The following year, I went to Ajahn Chah's monastery and had told him about these experiences. And he just kept saying, well, you know, it's attachment. Don't attach. And so I began to realize that I was very attached to those ecstatic experiences. I could see myself always trying to get to those states again. I thought that the experience of bliss was what I wanted. I remembered that first year and all those wonderful visions and experiences. And the second year, I didn't get anything. It was just pain and depression and despair. Please don't all rush home. He said, I do more ascetic practices, all the things that I remember doing the first year, but it wouldn't work anymore. And then he says, in this kind of very simple but rather brilliant line, he says, in fact, what I had to do was just to let go of remembering. So he had to let go of remembering and seeking and running after the experience he had before, and simply to be with his current, present, direct experience. So that's what you are invited to do on the retreat, whatever the experience, whether it's the beautiful, the pleasant, the peaceful experience, or whether it's a painful, tough, heartfelt, deeply despairing experience. Simply be with it, with a heart and mind of non-clinging, very patiently. And then those, that rush of energy through the body that can accompany those experiences just subsides. It ends like everything else. So Buddha wisdom, of course, is the simple knowing that all that arises ceases. So one of the other great Thai teachers whom I had the pleasure to meet, Ajahn Buddhadasa, says this. He says, all things are nothing but a perpetual flowing. That is, they are empty of a definitive self. All things are anicca. They change incessantly. They flow on endlessly. That perpetual flux is devoid of any self or of anything belonging to a self. So whatever we experience, if we can be with it in a way that where we realize it's not me, not mine, not who I am, simply this unfolding life, then we understand and see for ourselves a sense of freedom. So just another couple of points on that very troublesome teaching of not self. We're not at all trying to deny the existence of the conventional self, but rather just to negate the sense of self-belief that's grasped at as intrinsically real. So that's all. Just to see that we grasp at this idea of who we are. And of course, the who we are is usually not who we would like to be. And that gap between who we are and how we would like to be and who we would like to be is dukkha, is suffering, is misery, is stress, is anxiety. So if you have a painful memory or a distressing, the memory of a distressing event, arise in consciousness, just be with the sensations where they are in the body, very patiently, and just track those sensations with kindness, with gentleness, and be with them until they subside. So it's to let those conditions subside. That is the practice. They subside anyway. We just tend to keep them alive with our thoughts, with our views, with our opinions, with our ideas. Wisdom is often talked about as the light. As the light of wisdom. And of course, this is, you know, very symbolic. And recently in Thailand, there was the event where the 12 young boys and their soccer coach were trapped in the darkness of the cave for days and days and days before they were discovered. And then of course, once they were discovered, there was the whole process of how to rescue them, how to get them out. I don't know whether it was on television here, but certainly it gripped the whole nation in Australia. There were two Australian divers who were very much involved in the rescue. And what I loved about it, what I loved about seeing this, was the capacity of human beings to put aside differences and come together for the benefit of others. And so the teaching of the Dharma is a teaching of selflessness. And that was a wonderful demonstration of selflessness in action, as so many people put their lives, their own lives at risk in order to benefit another. And of course, one man died doing it, one of the divers. It was also a wonderful effort in that there were lots of factors that and people who needed to be involved. There were the Thai farmers whose fields were flooded, there were the people pumping the water, there were all the doctors and medics, and then there were the divers themselves and the Thai Navy SEALs. So I think it was an extraordinary coming together. And in these circumstances, we tend to see the best of the human heart. And so, of course, listening to it and seeing and watching and not knowing whether these children would survive was very touching, I found. Perhaps it's my identification with being a mother, but it was a touching and moving story. And I saw the Australian divers interviewed afterwards, and they said they really had not expected that all of the children and the young adult would survive. They thought 2/3 at best would possibly survive that journey out where they were anesthetized in order to be taken through a tunnel under the water. And my thought was, what if we were to cooperate like this over climate change, for example? What if we were to cooperate like this over the difficulties that refugees face in this world? It would be a really wonderful thing. So the human heart has the capacity to be selfless, to be compassionate in a great and wonderful way. This is wisdom. This is wisdom in action. And finally, I just want to say a little more about the unconditioned. Our practice is one of seeing the conditions, seeing them arise and seeing them cease. Yet there is a way of seeing and being where we're not caught up in those conditions. And when we no longer grasp or attach to any of those conditions, whatever they are, we see and know for ourselves that which is unconditioned, that which isn't dependent upon the conditions of life. So therefore, we have the capacity to touch and know a deep sense of freedom that isn't dependent upon whether life works out as we want it, whether things are perfect or not. But rather, we have the capacity to see that which is unbound, that which is not of the nature to arise and cease. And this is what the Buddha is pointing to with the teachings. As the Buddha lay dying, he said, "All conditioned things are impermanent. When birth and death no longer are, the complete silencing is joy." So what he's saying is, yes, all conditioned things are impermanent, but there is that which is untouched by birth and death. So when birth and death no longer are, the complete silencing is joy. This is Buddha wisdom. And when we realize and recognize the unconditioned, so that which is of the nature of non-arising and non-ceasing. So yes, we see that all things are impermanent. All objects, all forms, all conditioned phenomena are impermanent. That which is caught in time is impermanent. And yet we can see something else in this life. When we really look deeply, we see that which is unborn, that which is undying, untouched by birth and death. And this is the deathless teaching of the Buddha. This is Buddha wisdom. And the teachings point to this profound and deep understanding of liberation. And when this is understood, its expression is love, compassion, joy, and equanimity. So thank you all for listening. Perhaps we could just have a minute or two of quiet time together. May all beings live with wisdom. May all beings realize the unconditioned. And may all beings express that understanding as love, as care, as compassion for all beings. Thank you. very much for listening to the Dharma and for your practice that you are just about to do.